Mark Lewis, can I have your feedback about the general meeting we had tonight?
I think it was a very good meeting. And I think there is a trend now to deepen the collaboration between groups and to deepen the dialogue, which is, in my opinion, what Euroville needs. Let me take a comparison. It's like in a Japanese firm in Japan, they take months and months, never, because they don't want to impose a decision from the top down. So they discuss with every worker of the company, and they try really to put together the plus and the contrast. They listen to everybody, and they make it really a common community decision. So we could imagine such a process in Euroville, and so in a certain sense, the meeting of today could go in that direction. But my next question after that will be that when the decision has been discussed very well, in a very democratic way, in a very open way, open to opposition, and we have succeeded in coming to a common agreement, then, in my opinion, we come to the end of what I call the legislative process. The legislators of Euroville are the Eurovillians, nobody else. That's what should be. But when the legislation is passed, somebody has to execute the decision. And that is where I do not see clearly who is executing what. Now, let me reflect a little bit about what is executive power. Executive power is a service. It's a service because in any democracy, the executive power has laws coming from the parliament. It has to enact it with the army, the money, and the police, and the government. He must act. And nobody can put his hand on this. They have 4 years or 5 years, it depends from the system, and they must act. Now, the guy must be, the guy in the executive service, it's a real service. Because you have the money of the community in hands, you have the power of the community in hands, you have the army. So you can do a lot of bad things if you want, if you are corrupted. But if you take it as a service, this is indispensable. It must be done. And nobody can intervene into the execution. You can intervene democratically in the legislative process. But I think, so the Eurovillians will find a way, and that's, in my opinion, the next step, to execute. Now, the executive power is also the people who signs the contracts. You go to any place, anywhere, and you speak to the mayor, you speak to the CEO, you speak to the secretary general. Those people are the executives. They are there for 4 years. After that, they're gone. But at that moment, during those years, they can take a decision, they can make a contract, and they can enforce the contract. So that's what I do not see clearly, how this happens in Euroville. They will find. They will find a way, because they have to create a new thing. But you see, coming from outside, we, advisory council, we see that, let's imagine that I have €1 million to give to Euroville. I want to give €1 million to Euroville. Okay, I'm a generous donator. Who the hell will sign my check? To whom am I giving it? And who will guarantee that this money is used for the purpose we agreed together? If you don't have that kind of counterpart, it's very difficult to be a generous donator. So those are questions that Eurovillians know, and they tackle those questions, but they will have in the coming years, if we want Auroville to grow, they will have to tackle and find a way to invent, to create, to innovate an executive power and a judicial power. Because you, if you disagree with Auroville, who will defend you? If you are wanting to divorce, will you go to the Indian court, or will you go to where? Perhaps to the Auroville Council. But perhaps if the city, you see, with 2,000 people, okay, but with 50,000 people, there is no way that an Auroville Council could treat 20 divorces a day. Auroveans want to create some kind of new political system. They want to innovate, and that's okay. They want to go further than democracy. But they should not preclude the essentials of democracy. They should go further, but not forget about the good things of democracy. They should innovate, and they will innovate. But that's for new generation to do. If you want the city to grow, you must work on some things. Otherwise, it will not grow. If we create a university here, how? It's impossible that as a dean of a university somewhere, I sign a contract with a little group. I must have somebody to whom... So it's beginning. There are contacts, there are universities. It's going in the right direction, but executive and legislative logics are not the same.
You know what Margaret, she said about executive power? She encouraged the women in the Senate and said, you have the executive power. She encouraged the women to do this.
Well,
we have the we tried to make a working committee of women this time. I wanted to tell you that.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
I didn't have time to write to you, but, you know, frankly, we really tried to have a working committee of women this time. But it didn't work. I guess it wasn't the time. A lot of women refused. But at one time, we had such, it was such a, you know, well, I shouldn't actually
well,
be saying
me,
this.
Let me tell you one story. I was speaking with the dean of Stanford, and he said, when I was elected, I imposed to have 51% of women in the board, because it changes everything.
It changes everything.
It changes the agenda. Not the way we discuss, but much more than that.
Yes,
it changes the agenda. But if you have 48%, nothing changes. It's very strange. This is sociologically. You have to have 51-52%. Then suddenly the women look at each other and they say, okay, we're a majority, we can go. The women in the working committee have done a lot of good work.
Yeah.
So, Julianne Lyne, can you tell us your feedback about the meeting tonight?
Yeah, the meeting was well attended. There was not a lot of criticism. It was the most positive atmosphere I've seen in many, many, many years. So that, in a sense, shows that something positive is happening. And even on the ground, many people seem happy with the constellation of people who've stepped forward. And it's nice to hear Amy, very articulate, Gilles, very articulate, and this Australian,
Jesse.
Yeah, almost with such a happy sense of humor that everyone was smiling when he spoke. And that's always a better place to come from, as my dear friend Mark knows, with a twinkle in his eye and a big smile. You deliver the message, a happy surprise, and you feel it's about time that we had more joy in our work. And that's a good measure.
No, the mood was excellent. The mood was excellent, that's for sure.